Well, will you please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John in chapter 14. Before we look at this, I'll open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for how you have revealed yourself to us through it. I pray that as we open it, and learn of you, that your Spirit will be the one who guides and teaches. Let us see you anew, dear Father, and be blessed thereof. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 to 18 are the record of many of the words of the Lord Jesus and his actions the night before he was crucified. Some of the words, they start in the upper room, and then he leaves, and some of them are recorded as he was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then when they were there in the Garden of Gethsemane as well. And so we have various times where we have recorded the words of the Lord Jesus. And throughout the various stages, the Lord Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit in various forms and various things that he is going to do with them. And the key one, when it all starts, is in John chapter 14, verse 16. And this is where we're mainly going to be looking this evening. But he says this to them. He says in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And so he's talking about how he is going to depart, go to heaven, but he says he will ask the Father to give them another Comforter. And let's remember, Jesus is going to be leaving them that evening. He's going to be taken away from them just a few hours later, and he is going to be tortured and then crucified and die the very next day. And so, whatever, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, that would eliminate some of the things that aren't necessary. You would sort of go to the things that you think are the most important. If you have family, friends, and you needed to tell them some things, you would be getting straight to the point and telling them the most important things. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's interesting that when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, he doesn't mention tongues at all. Sometimes, a lot of people, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, that's all they can talk about, tongues. But interestingly, he doesn't mention that at all here. It's true, tongues was a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit, and it had its place in the early church to convince the unbelieving Jews that this was truly of God. But the Holy Spirit was given for far more reasons than simply that people may speak in tongues. And here the Lord Jesus tells us in this passage, prior to him being taken away, of some of the things the Holy Spirit was going to be given for. And that's why it was necessary for him to leave, so they can have the Holy Spirit come. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening, just a few of the things that the Lord Jesus mentions. Now, as I said, the key verse, and there's some very important things that are simply found with two words that Jesus mentions in this one verse. Let me read it again. "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." There's some lovely words there. But two of the most important are the words "another" and "comforter." You know, the word "another" for us doesn't really generate a lot of excitement. Jesus was with them. He was comforting them. Now he was going to give them a replacement, another comforter. But in that one word, there is so much beauty and excitement when you truly understand what he's meaning there and the significance of that word. You see, in the Greek, there are two words for "another." In our English, there's just one word, "another." But in Greek, there are two words that can be translated another. There is the Greek word allos, which means another of equal quality, or another of the same kind. And then there's another word called heteros, and that is another of a different quality, or of a different kind. Now, for me, the best way maybe to explain this is, just say on Christmas Day, you gave your child a little puppy. Right? Little, fluffy, happy puppy. And your child, boy or girl, has loved that puppy since Christmas. And they run around the backyard with it. They sit there and they comb it and they throw fetch, you know, play fetch with it, and it runs off and gets something and comes back. It adores that little pet, that puppy. And then yesterday you come with the bad news that it's no longer for one reason or another. Maybe it got ran over or ran away and it hasn't come back. And so they've lost their pet puppy. And after all the tears with the desire to make your child feel happy, you say to them, on Monday, I'll get you another pet. And so the tears stop and they think, I'm going to get another pet. Great. And so tomorrow you go out, you come back and you've got a very excited child and then you hand them a worm. A pet worm. Now, if you did that, it would be a big mistake, all right? But that would be a heteros pet, all right? It's another pet, but it's another pet of a different kind. And because it's another pet of a different kind, it's certainly not going to be able to be enjoyed the same way. Like the little child can't go and brush the worm or play fetch with the worm. I guess you could play fetch, but it sort of Yeah, no running around the backyard with the worm, all right? It's another pet of a different kind. Now, what your child would be expecting is another pet of the same kind. That is, another puppy. A puppy that you can brush, you can play fetch with, you can run around the backyard with. That's what they would be expecting. And so there's a significant difference between the two Greek words when someone says another. Now, Jesus said here, I will give you a heteros comforter, another of a different kind, that's a very disappointing thing. That means he could be saying, I'm going to give you one of the Pharisees as a comforter. What a sad event that would be. Even if he said, I'm going to give you your brother or your sister or a pastor to be your comforter, all right? That's sad because no one is the same as the Lord Jesus when it comes to that sort of thing. But praise God, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you a heteros comforter. But he says, I'm going to give you an allos comforter, a comforter of the same quality, of the same kind. And that's a wonderful statement. Jesus previously had just declared that he is God. He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. You see, Jesus was allos, of the same kind as the Father. And now Jesus is just saying, the one that I give you is of the same kind as well. We're all the same, of that same nature and quality. And what this does is show us the deed of the Holy Spirit, for starters. The disciples had just enjoyed for the last few years God in the flesh. Now they're going to enjoy God the Spirit. But it's still, in essence, God. And he's going to be just as powerful. He's going to be just as able to help them. He's going to be just as loving and caring and patient as Jesus himself. You see, they lost nothing having the Holy Spirit replace Jesus as their comforter. And now we need to stop and acknowledge and consider what that means. Because We don't have the Lord Jesus like the disciples had, but we do have the Holy Spirit. And so we lose nothing by having the Holy Spirit as our comforter than having the Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes we wonder if that's the case, isn't it? We think, well, wouldn't it be great to have Jesus? Come and meet Jesus here every Sunday. And we can go and talk to Jesus when we need him, like the disciples did. We can follow Jesus around. If I had Jesus by my side, I'm telling you, I'm going to live that life so much better than what I do now. Now, understand that those who walked with the Lord Jesus, they still fell on sin. Many forsook him, so it's probably not a reality. But we often think if I had Jesus with me day by day, well, then surely I'd be living a better life. I would have so much more help. Well, he said, we have the Holy Spirit with us and in us constantly. You don't even have to go and find the Holy Spirit to talk to him. He's with us every moment of the day. And as Jesus has declared, he is no less able to help us than he himself. He has the same power. He has the same ability to comfort and help than Jesus did if he was just by our side. And so we're no worse than the disciples. They were no worse off having the Holy Spirit than Jesus. And neither are we. Now, with having said that, isn't it the case though, isn't it true that even though we all know that a worm is a poor replacement for a puppy, isn't it the case that often we seek something less than the Holy Spirit for our comfort? You know, back in the same chapter in verse 8, this was Philip's attitude. If you look there in verse 8, it says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Basically, he's saying, if only I could see this Father, then we'd be satisfied, we would be content. He wanted something tangible to see. And isn't that for like us? Despite having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, having the same power and ability to help as Jesus himself, we put him aside and we seek a worm, a comforter of another kind, simply because we can see him or see her. And we seek help, first of all, from family, friends, counselors, and we forget we have the limitless help of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so that's the first thing we see here, just from that one word, another. We have not been left with any less comfort than the disciples when they had the Lord Jesus by his side. But then he also says another comforter. And so he uses this word comforter, which can be translated a few ways, but it basically is paraclete. And this word is, with most commentators, would agree that one English word doesn't fully explain what the word means. It can be expressed in lots of ways, this word paraclete. But the most general explanation would be an aid of any kind. If you're looking for an answer to what that means, an aid of any kind. Now, that's pretty significant. Reminds me of ladies' handbags. It's an aid of any kind. You got a problem? It's generally solved within that handbag. You got a cut? Well, there'll be a Band-Aid there. You got a headache? There'll be a Panadol in there. You got a splinter? There will be tweezers in there. You need to cut some nails? There's something else, a nail cutter in there. You need to put a screw into a wall, there will be a drill in there somewhere, all right? It's an aid for every occasion in those handbags. Well, in a spiritual way, that's what the Holy Spirit is. You have a need? Well, then he's the aid for every occasion. Now, that's That's limitless, isn't it? But that's what the Holy Spirit is like. And Jesus explains some of these things. He tells us some of the things he is. Have a look in chapter 14, verse 26. This is one of the interpretations of Comforter. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." One of the translations of a comforter is it means a teacher. And so a part of his help and comfort is he will teach us. He will illuminate us in the things of God. Here Jesus is saying to his disciples, those things that you have heard of me, the Holy Spirit will teach you so you can remember it. Now that's amazing. And the Gospel of John is a product of that. He had clear understanding of those things because the Holy Spirit brought them to his mind. But we're told that he is our teacher as well. And there are various verses where the unsaved cannot discern the Word of God like we can, but we have the Holy Spirit that illuminates us, helps us to understand the things of God. That's because of the work of our Comforter that we have been left with. You know, how many times have you been in a circumstance and then a verse comes to mind? I'm convinced that's the work of the teacher, the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of something from his word. We're reminded of a message. We're reminded of something that we had been taught to teach us what we ought to be doing. We should enjoy that and ask for the comforter, that teacher, to illuminate us in the things of God. And Lord, speak to me. Show me those things that I'm needing during the day. You know, if we have a noisy soul and we're just so busy thinking about everything else and we're clouding our mind with everything under the sun, putting things into our ears continually, I suspect we won't hear the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, "Be still and know that I am God." But he will teach us if we'll listen. You know, there's another one. And another way you can translate this word paraclete is advocate. And an advocate is someone who speaks on behalf of someone else. A bit like a lawyer in the sense. And so when you think of the Holy Spirit, we can think of him as our advocate. He will speak on behalf of us. Now that's a wonderful thing. Because what we see here is that he will help us with the work that he has called us to do. We're not on our own in that regard. He will speak on our behalf and do the bidding of God for us. You know, have a look in chapter 16 of John in verses 7 to 8. Chapter 16, verses 7 to 8, and I'll put advocate there instead of comforter. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, that is essential, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the advocate will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," this is what he's going to do, part of his job, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will go to work reproving the world of righteousness and of sin and so on, and judgment. Now that's a blessing. What we learn here is that the Holy Spirit is given to us to work and help us do the work that God has called us to do. For example, you know, when I had been asked in the past, I still do a little bit, but certainly not as much, but if I had to go and talk to someone about salvation, I'd start to get nervous and scared and think, how am I going to help them to understand this so they believe it? And I think, how am I going to convince them that they're a sinner and that they need salvation? And it wasn't until it was made clear to me through the Word of God that I don't have to do any of that. I don't actually have to convince them of their sin. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's why he is given. He is come that he will reprove the world of sin. He convicts of sin. He shows someone the need of salvation. He helps them to understand that. That's his work. You see, we have an advocate when we go to do the work of God in that way. We have an advocate who speaks on our behalf into the very souls of men and women. I'm glad we got that, because if it was left up to me or any of us to convince someone of their need of sin, I doubt anyone would ever get saved. You know, that's an encouragement when you're a preacher. I know I have a responsibility to preach the truth, show people the Word of God, explain it honestly, but it's then up to my advocate to speak on God's behalf. He's the one that convinces people of sin. He's the one that encourages people to change. He's the one that illuminates those who hear. It's the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who does that. So we're not left here to do everything in our own strength. That's an exciting thing. He just wants us to be faithful in sharing God's word and doing his work, and he works on our behalf. And so he is an advocate in that sense. When we go to do the work of God, he speaks and does God's bidding on our behalf. But then we can turn it into the reverse side as well. He works on God's behalf within us. You know, as an advocate living within us, that means that we have that internal advocate working on behalf of God to convince us of sin and error and judgment as well. Now, we might think, well, that's a terrible thing. I can't escape that work of the Holy Spirit in me where I feel miserable when I sin against him, and I know that I need to get right with God, and there's a struggle, and when I go to do something, I know it's wrong. I have that work of the Holy Spirit in me. Now, it's not pleasant. But can you imagine if we weren't given the Holy Spirit to do that work? That bidding of God on our behalf. We would be left to our own devices. And we are told that our heart is desperately wicked. That we will hide our sin. That's our natural bent. We will excuse our sin. We will blame others for our sin. That's the natural bent of us as sinners. Praise God, we have an advocate dwelling within us who does the bidding of God, and he convicts us of our sin, and he strives with us and doesn't leave us alone. And if you're saved, you will have known or heard the voice of God. You will have heard his pleading when you sin. If you're holding on to sin, you will have that constant bidding of him, pleading you to obey your Heavenly Father. And that's a blessing. A blessing we should give thanks for. We shouldn't resist the advocate that dwells within us. We should allow our hearts to grow soft to his calling. We should be able to listen to his bidding and not grow hard and callous towards him. Instead, pray that the Lord will continue to do his work in us. And so we have an advocate. He's also, the word is translated there as Jesus says, comforter. And in a world that's full of violence, sickness, evil men, evil actions, we need a comforter. And the blessing is we're told that he is the same as Jesus when it comes to comforting. They had him to go and talk to, the disciples, but he left and they had the Holy Spirit. Same as us. But because we know he is the same type of comforter, we know that he's a loving comforter, because Jesus had compassion on people. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is like to us. We know that he will be a faithful comforter who never leaves us, nor forsakes us, because Jesus was that type of comforter. We have a wise comforter who will teach us the right path, because Jesus was wisdom himself. And we lose nothing with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's another comforter, yet he's the same quality as Jesus. And so, Jesus wanted to tell his disciples this and many other things before he left. But this is one of the most significant. I'm leaving, but I got great news. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Another comforter. Better still, he's going to dwell within you. He's going to be by you, side, and dwell with you constantly. And he will never leave you. That's a blessing that we enjoy this day. And I trust that we would think upon that and enjoy what we have been given through the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we can praise you for sending your Spirit to us, that we can enjoy those blessings on high. And Lord, we pray that you may help us to know him better, hear his voice, and enjoy his comfort. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.